Hello, and welcome to Cumberland Community Church and to our morning worship service. This is the first Sunday of Advent. You know, Advent is an old tradition that has been carried out in the liturgical Christian church for centuries. Many put it back as far as the 5th century, some even prior to that in the 4th century. We don't know exactly when it started, but it's been going on for hundreds of years in the Christian church. It's just been in the past 40 years or so that I'm aware of, there has been an increased interest in the practice of Advent in the evangelical Christian church. And I believe this is largely because of the commercialism that's taken over this time of year. And Advent can be a meaningful focus to keep the Lord Jesus Christ central in our mind and heart during this Christmas season. Advent is a Latin word meaning coming or arrival, and is a time of spiritual preparation for the celebration of the Incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We will have daily Advent readings. They'll be posted after the sermon that you can get in a PDF file, and they're listed out for each day between now and Christmas. Will be a special Advent reading that you can have and take 5 minutes and read the scripture and focus your mind on what this season is all about. Then also for the next 4 weeks as part of our morning service, I'm going to be speaking on four different questions that come out of the scriptures that have to do with this Advent season. Before we have today's message, let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come together, we thank you so much that you are here in our midst. Even though we're living in this strange time of pandemic and isolation and things being locked down once again, Lord, thank you that you're not isolated from us, that you are here in our midst. No matter where we are, you are there with us. Lord, I want to pray for those a part of our congregation that they're living on their own. They feel very isolated at this point of time without family or friends being able to be with them. And I just pray for encouragement and blessing on them. And just come alongside. May they just know that they are not alone, that you are with them. Also, there's a number within our midst that are sick. And Lord, we commit them to you, praying for your hand of healing to be upon them and to help them through this time. And Lord, for each one of us, we pray that our hearts will be open to your word this morning. Speak into our hearts your truth. We just pray it now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first question we're going to look at today is when. When will these things happen? And I'm going to read for us from Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, and starting in verse 1. As he, that's Jesus, was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" Jesus replied. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" When will these things happen? You know, that's a question that has been asked throughout the ages. When is this going to happen? The first Advent took place at Jesus' birth, the Incarnation, when the Word became flesh. But you know, there's actually two Advents, and the second one is still to come. The second Advent is when Jesus returns to earth to gather all of his people that believe in him unto himself. And you know, today we find ourselves living between these two Advents. The first, when Jesus came, and we look at it as his birth, and the second that we look forward to, his coming again. And I believe we're ever so close to that second advent happening. It could be at any moment. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27, we read there, "Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Jesus is going to appear a second time. You know, Paul, in writing to the Romans, in his letter to the Romans, he wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, and he said there, he said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." The gospel was not a quick fix for a sudden and expected problem. You see, Jesus didn't come all of a sudden because God said, the Father said, "Uh-oh, we got a problem. You need to get to earth and fix it now." No. The gospel was written about by the prophets many, many years ago. Jesus, you see, is not the founder of Christianity, but rather Jesus is the fulfiller of Christianity. Long before Jesus ever walked on earth, prophecies were made about the coming Messiah. And the Old Testament looks forward to the coming Messiah through the prophecies that were made in advance that were to become the evidence of the Messiah's authenticity. And you know, either these Old Testament prophecies are going to be true or false. And I've said that this here before this congregation before. You know, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures concerning the coming Messiah. Some have said there's 333. I've never counted them all. Some are a little bit more obscure than others, and it's maybe a little harder for us to see it in the translation into English. But you know, the chance of any one person just happening to fulfill even just 3% of these prophecies is so incredibly slim, it would be considered impossible for it to ever happen. Yet Jesus filled them all. Let me just give you a few examples of some of them. 800 years before Christ was born, the place of his birth was named. He would be born in Bethlehem. If he was born in any other town, he wasn't the Messiah. He could only come and be born in Bethlehem. 700 years before Christ was born, the nature of his birth was given. A virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. If the Messiah wasn't born of a virgin, they weren't the Messiah. The hometown of where he would live was named 700 years in advance that he would be a Nazarene and he'd be from Nazareth. His death was described in detail before crucifixion was even devised by the Phoenicians and then later adopted by the Romans. His resurrection was spoken of hundreds of years in advance of it ever happening. And all these prophecies speak powerfully of the authenticity and the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. And yet, there is still one promise given by Jesus that is yet to be fulfilled. In John chapter 14 and in verse 1, we read there, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You know, Jesus made this statement. He made this claim. He made this promise. And he said, "I will come back and take you to be with me." This is the second advent. This is what all Christians are waiting anxiously for around the world today. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, The disciples, they were watching Jesus ascending into heaven. They stood there. You can imagine their eyes bugging out and their mouths dropping open like, wow. And as they were looking intently into the sky, as Jesus was going, then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." He's going to come back again, the angel said. The very way that you have seen him just go, he's coming back. You know, we ask, when will these things happen? When will Christ return? Many people in the Old Testament times, they become weary of waiting and watching for the Messiah. They'd grown tired, and many had given up waiting for him. Oh, he's never going to come. He'll never be here. But you know, there were people, faithful people. We read about some in Luke chapter 2. People like Simeon and Anna. They were elderly people. And though now that they were old in age, they had never given up watching and waiting for the Messiah. Let me just read to you about Simeon in Acts chapter 2 and verse 25. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom, that custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel.'" Here they'd been waiting, and finally, Simeon sees the Messiah has come when so many others had given up hope. You know, back to our text in Mark's Gospel in Mark chapter 13, as we continue on there, starting in verse 5, Jesus said to them, to the disciples, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains." And you know, in Mark chapter 13, Jesus leads the disciples through many events leading up to the end of the age, the end of the time. And it's a great temptation for us to read the signs in Mark chapter 13 and in Matthew chapter 24 and compare them to things that are going on in our world today and start making predictions. And in Mark chapter 13, Jesus says over and over and over again, "Watch, be on your guard, wait." I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but let me just hit a couple of times when Jesus says this. In verse 5 that we've already read, Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you." In verse 9, he says, "You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues." In verse 23, "So be on your guard. I've told you everything ahead of time." Verse 33, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." Verse 35, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back." Verse 37, "What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." No one knows when that will be. The Son didn't know, only the Father. We read in that same chapter in verse 32, "No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard." We need to be ready. Jesus had just said to the disciples just prior that, in verse 28 of Mark 13, he said, "Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door." We don't know when, so watch and wait. We need to be living our lives ready for the Lord to arrive at any second. But we also need to keep working, for the time is short. You know, that means we need to keep planning and preparing to bring in the harvest, for what time is quickly running out. And if you don't think it is, in this year of 2020, it's been a wake-up call to us. Give your head a shake. The Lord could come at any moment. When will these things take place? I don't know. But you know, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Let me read it to us. Verse 1, it says, "At that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took the oil in jars and along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep." I've got to stop there for a moment. You know, this is a different culture at a different time than what we're used to and what we know. I've conducted many, many wedding ceremonies. And I'll say, the bridegroom has never once kept me waiting. He's always been there on time. The bride, now I've been waiting for the bride many a times. There's one instance I think of. The bride kept us waiting for so long, it was an hour late to her own wedding. And we were all pacing the floor wondering, what in the world's gone wrong? As a matter of fact, I learned a lesson from that very time. Any ceremony I do now with the couple, I tell them beforehand, I tell the bride, I say, "Now, the wedding is at such and such a time, right? I will extend to you 10 minutes. And if you're not there by that time, I'm going to ask, is there any of eligible ladies out there who would like to get married today? And I'll marry him to this man. So if you want to be married to him, you better show up." Now, this is a whole different time. We miss the culture. You see, at this day and time, weddings were arranged. And the groom, the man, he had to pay a bride price. And he worked that out with the bride's father. And then he would go home and having made that arrangement and it all worked out, he would go home and he'd start to prepare a home. It was usually along where his family lived, his parents lived. And he'd build a dwelling that would be for his bride that would be right there on that property, many times adjoining to his parents' home. And it would take a while. And he wouldn't be able to come and marry his bride until all that was done and he had a place to take her to. We don't know what caused this bridegroom to be delayed and late. But in their culture, they understood this. And all of a sudden, it was getting close to the time. This was going to be the day it was going to happen. And at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are running out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us, both you and us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they are on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came and, "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Are you watching? Are you waiting for Jesus coming? Jesus said, I will come back, and he will. You know, if Jesus were to come to your home today, right now, the doorbell goes. There's a knock on the door, and you go and open it, and to your surprise, there's the Lord. How would you feel? Would you go, oh my goodness, the house is a mess. I couldn't invite him in. Look at how it is. Or if Jesus were to get in your car with you this week and go with you everywhere you went, how would you feel? If Jesus were to come at this very moment, are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you watching? See, we're entering into the season where we are celebrating and remembering the coming of the Messiah into the world, the first advent. Many had given up. A few were watching and waiting. Are you one of the ones watching and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second advent? When is it? I don't know when it's going to happen, but things seem to be so close that it could be at any second, at any moment. Are you ready? I know this. It will come when we least expect it. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, we read there, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And John says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for his advent, his second coming? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we are in this Advent season and we remember the Lord Jesus is coming on that first Advent, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us, the incarnation, we remember there's another Advent coming, one that as we are in between these two Advents, we are close to that time, but oh, are we watching and ready and waiting? And Lord, I pray that each one of us will be ready to receive you, that we won't be asleep, that we will have received you into our lives, and that we'll be looking and watching and waiting for you to come to take us to be with you for all eternity. Oh, may we be your people ready to go. We pray in your name. Amen.